that you have given us, that we may be in your presence once again. Father, we know that we are imperfect people serving a perfect God. But Lord, you've given us your spirit and made us just like you. So Lord God, help us that we will allow your spirit to lead us and not ourselves. Father, as we are now gathered, we ask that you would break down every barrier and everything that tries to come to our mind, break it down that is causing separation, that we may come into the oneness and be your true church. Help every thought be on you, God, and not of man. Father, we believe that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be fed. You've created a hunger in us. Now, Lord, we believe now that the table is set for us. So help us now that we would have the ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And we declare that we are the church. So touch now and let us hear. And Father, as I stand here, I know that I am not the preacher nor the teacher, but I stand submitted and committed that you, Lord God, would come now and consecrate me to be used by you.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
And Lord God, press down on Felix and move him out of the way.
Yes, Lord.
That only
you, Lord,
will be glorified.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And that we, your body, will be edified.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I come, Lord, as humble as I know how. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 45, it begins, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does not my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, he says, I'm the one you did wrong. But he couldn't stop it. He said, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. I got to stop right there. Is there anybody in here that's ever made a mistake? Can it get a little deeper? Has anybody ever in here made a mistake on purpose? Verse 5 again, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. A posterity to preserve an everlasting future. He said, what you boys did, God is doing through you to preserve life for the future on earth forever. That's what that says. They sold him out, and this is what he tells them happened. And he says, a posterity for you to the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Skip over to chapter 50. Same Genesis. Chapter 50, verse 15. We're coming right back there because we're going to talk about that, but I want you to hear all of this. Verse 15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servant of the God of your father. And Joseph heard all that, and Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive.
Amen. Amen.
Looking at that last verse and then drawing back to the seventh verse, it was God who sent him, and it was all about saving the lives of others. I want you to meditate on this. Forgiveness saves lives.
Amen.
Not only does it heal, but forgiveness saves lives. I wish I would have brought everybody in here a pack of lifesavers. Because that's what we are. We are life savers. But you need to understand that it's forgiveness that saves lives. In this particular book, God uses Joseph to show a foreshadowing of Jesus. The theologians call it typology. So they say the Old Testament scriptures are made up of shadows and types, which means we see a shadow of who Christ is before Christ comes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the New Testament, we get Christ. In the Old Testament, we get the typologies of Christ, meaning that Christ was always there, but he didn't become manifested in the flesh until the New Testament happened. The New Testament happened through the dispensation of grace. And the only way grace could come in is through forgiveness. So then, grace access is forgiveness. In order to access grace, there has to be forgiveness. So then we understand that there's nowhere for grace to come into our life unless forgiveness first opens the door to come in. Isn't it something that to enter into the grace of God, there has to be forgiveness first? So then, in order to give out grace, you have to receive the forgiveness.
Amen.
Once the door of forgiveness is open to your heart, then forgiveness begins to take you over. I heard him praying the prayer that we would want the fruits of the spirits, which are directly from God. And so when forgiveness comes in, forgiveness begins to first save you.
Amen.
The second thing it does, it saves others. Thereby, when you truly embrace forgiveness, when you don't want to forgive, you will anyway. And then, you know, there's a problem with forgiveness because you say, I forgive them, but I won't forget it. Well, the Bible says that too. It says, forgetting those things which are behind so that you can press on for those things which are before.
Amen.
Because if you stay in the same place,
Amen.
The same thing that tried to kill you is going to come and kill you.
Amen.
So God won't allow you to stay in the same place. Because he preserves life through forgiveness.
Amen.
Therefore, he has to produce forgiveness out of you to move you forward. So the thing that was going to kill you cannot kill you because you're not there anymore. In this particular text, I want to familiarize you with the story of Joseph. Because Joseph was loved by his father, and it starts off in the 37th chapter. I would tell you, please read the story. It will bless you.
Yes, sir.
Joseph, the Bible said he was loved by his father, and because his father had so much love for him, his brothers hated him.
Amen.
He didn't even do anything wrong. But they hated him. I listen to my children all the time, and they say, I'm daddy's favorite. And one will come to me and say, right, daddy, I'm the favorite. And I say, right. And the other one say, I thought I was the favorite. I say, you are. Why are you thinking it? You got to know it.
Amen.
And so that's one of the things we need to really know, that we are God's favorite. And then they said, well, you can only have one favorite. I said, by whose rules? I grew up knowing that I was my mom and dad's favorite. As a matter of fact, I went and sat on my daddy's lap to prove it. And the other ones thought, oh, well, you just a little sissy. You sitting on the lap. No, I'm not. I'm sitting on daddy's lap because I'm creating relationship here. Because I'm his favorite, and he needs to know that I know that I'm his favorite. Because if he know that I know, then I'm going to get the favor because I'm letting him know that I know. So if you're truly God's favorite, you ought to sit on his lap. There's no reason to have no distant relationship with the God that you serve. You ought to get closer to God and let God know, God, I'm here to just kick it with you. If you could get close to him. But as you draw closer to God, know that you are producing haters. I am a hater producer. That's why I do not get disturbed when people tell me, oh, so-and-so is talking about you. I said, they're supposed to talk about me. I'm on the move right now. I'm going towards God. I got favor on my life. They're supposed to talk about me. might not have two nickels to rub together, but I got a God that has favor on my life. Now you understand why folks are hating on you when you don't even have nothing yet. It's because you're on the move, and people always look at people who are on the move because they don't have no movement. Dogs don't bark at parked cars. They bark at the ones that are on the move. You ought to tell somebody, I'm on the moon. The Bible says that he was hated because his father loved him. His father loved them all. It was how he positioned himself. That he knew that he was loved. You know how it is when you don't know that you're loved?
Yeah.
You start acting any old kind of way, but when you find out
that
you are loved, there's value in knowing that you're loved.
Wow.
And that's what you need to get concluded first of all. I don't care if don't nobody on this earth love me.
Hallelujah.
I know God loves me.
Hallelujah.
And then the enemy will say, yeah, well, if he love you, why is this going on? And why is that going on? You don't have this and you don't have that. You say, well, I'm just going through a season. You keep looking at this. This will go away. I got him and that'll never go away. And I'm not worried about stuff because I've read in the Bible that, listen, the wealth of the wicked is being stored up for the righteous. I'm just going to stay right with God because if I stay right with him, I can have the rest. The enemy wants you to focus on what you don't have. And God is calling you to focus on him. In the first service, we was getting ready to teach, and I was teaching, and the baby was over here, and the baby was crying. And everybody started looking at the baby. But the word was coming from here.
Come on, pal. Come on, pal.
And the baby was crying.
Come on, pal.
And the thing about the baby crying, you don't even know what he's crying for. So then, that's what the enemy does. He makes a whole lot of noise. And we do what... just what we did. In the natural, we do it in the spiritual.
Amen.
We pay attention. See, because the congregation was thinking, oh, the baby's crying. That's distracting us. It's only distracting you if you want to be distracted. I'm going to talk to you, brother, because you might understand.
Okay.
The only way the devil distracts you is because you want to be distracted. So, preacher, help us. Okay, here it comes.
Amen.
We have been so used to living this life in a worldly tense that we have created what are called habits. So the habitual behavior that you have developed is to look at what's wrong more than look at what's right. I guarantee you that there's more right things going on with you than the little bit of wrong that's happening in your life. Let me tell you about some things that were right that you forgot to praise about this morning. When you woke up and opened up your eyes, you were still able to see. Somebody said something to you and you were still able to hear. When one foot fell out of bed and the other one fell out, you were able to stand. When you put one foot in front of the other, you were able to walk. And when you opened up your mouth, it wasn't dumb. Noise came out. Is there anybody in here that understands you have something to be thankful about? And if you focus on that, now, whether or not they made pancakes for you is not a big deal. Now, because they didn't say the right words to you is not a big deal. You still bless. So, the enemy does his job. God has done his job. You are done. It's over. It's up to you to pronounce benediction on the stuff that you've been dwelling on. It's a wrap. The song say, I got the victory. I got the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Ladies, hey. Because some of us need a cheerleader. Huh? You know how you get a cheerleader. You're ready to go because somebody believes in you. Well, you got cheerleaders now letting you know that you can believe in yourself because you already done. Joseph had, listen, Joseph had the nerve to go to his brothers because he wanted to share some good news. So he tells them he had a dream. Now because he had a dream, isn't it something, and his dream was showing him coming out on top. Do I have any dreamers in here? Here's what I'm going to guarantee you. Not one of you dreamers are dreaming that you're coming out on the bottom. Because that wouldn't be a God dream. That's right. That's an evil dream. And look, if you're having nightmares, I'm going to pronounce benediction on them. Because God has given you dreams. And because, listen, because Joseph shared his dream about being on top, the Bible said his brothers hated him even more. Till they sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. But one brother stood up and said, no, you can't kill him. Let's make some money off of him. Whereby we see Judas.
Come on, pal. Wow, come on. That's
good. So then they throw him into a pit. He gets sold into slavery. Somebody say, but God. He gets to Potiphar's house, his slave master, and Potiphar makes him in charge of the whole house. Then they lie on him. Anybody been lying on? And then they threw him in jail. Somebody say, but God. But while he was in jail, God promoted him to be in charge of everything in jail.
Amen.
To the point that he came out of jail. And then he was promoted going to the king's house. Somebody say, but God. I don't care what happened in your dream. I don't care what it went wrong. I don't care how you have planned it, but God. God is still going to take you to the place to raising you up, regardless of what the enemy tries against you. God will bring you up. Go ahead and shout it. I'm going up. He gets to Egypt. A Hebrew man is in Egypt, supposed to be at war. Somebody say, but God. But God was with Joseph. So then the king makes him the governor because of the power of God that he's seen on his life. What am I saying? Don't matter what's going on. If people see the power of God, no matter what, they will promote you over them.
Amen.
If you can let enough God out of you.
Amen.
The problem is we don't believe what the word says. Therefore, we try to submit ourselves down to a worldly standard, but we've been called up to kingdom living. So then God's plan. Say God's plan.
God's plan.
His ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not your thoughts. And here's the truth. He's trying to get you out of your crazy thought thinking anyway. You think crazy. Yeah, you think it's about you, about pleasing you, when, where, why. Oh, it's all about me. I need this. I need that. All of us. Not some of us. All of us. And if God don't do the way you want him to do it, you're mad at him. But don't trip. I get mad at God, too. I'm human. Just letting you know it's okay to get mad at God. He can handle it. It's when we get mad at one another, when we don't show no representation in the body of Christ. But if you get mad with God, God knows how to take your mad and make you glad. Now look, Joseph gets this dream when he's in his teens. That's why I'm glad it's Youth Sunday. Where are the youth at? Wait, any youth in here? Yeah. you really need to get this word because you're valuable right now. God gives Joseph a dream in his teens. Then God begins to work the dream. Now, just because we get a dream doesn't mean we get to provide the way the dream comes to fruition. The dream didn't come from you. It came from God.
Amen.
And if it came from God, let God work it out and you quit trying to work everything out your way.
Amen.
So then, if you take a dip, just know the dip is building you because it takes a downward fall for you to build up and God could take you up. But if you don't understand what it looks like down, then you'll never know when you're going up.
Amen.
So.
That's good. That's true.
So brings us to around the 45th chapter where we are today. And the brothers who had sold him out. Wanted to kill him, hated him. Time has passed. David is grown. Joseph is grown. He is now the governor throughout all the land. The governor. Nothing happens unless he says so. So then now famine breaks out. And the Hebrews, God's chosen people, now have to go to Egypt. Somebody say, but God. But God has raised up one who was sold out by his own so that he would be in the position to preserve life forever.
Amen.
So the brothers, they show up. Around the 42nd chapter to get some food because there was no food in the land. 10 of the brothers show up. His baby brother Benjamin stays at home with his daddy. When he shows up, he notices his brothers, but they don't know him because time has passed. I want you to know that don't worry about the now and let it make you frustrated because God works through time. He will heal you in time. I remember I got a cut on my hand and I put some medicine on it and the next day it was still damaged. And then this crust came over it so that I couldn't see what was going on. But while it looked bad, when I looked at the crust, God was doing something underneath. I don't know who's been dealing with illness, but you've been focusing on what you can see and what you could hear, but God is at work on the inside. Don't focus on how bad it looks on the outside. Know that God is at work on the inside. His ways are not our ways, because if it was up to me, I would have looked at my hand and it would have been healed like on Terminator. You know how they just healed instantaneous. That's how we want things. Boom, boom. But God works through time. So in time, his brothers come to see him because God created a method in which them to come and see him. He said, I'm going to put hunger on you. So that normally you wouldn't go to your enemy's state. Because the Hebrews wouldn't have never went to Egypt. But they knew that there was grain held up in Egypt, so they traveled, 10 brothers. Joseph noticed who they are. They didn't know who he was. But when they came into the presence of Joseph, the Bible says that they began to grieve. They began to remember their brother. What am I saying? Your enemies will remember. When God fixes it up, your enemies will remember. They will come to you and be ready to be a blessing to you. You don't have to hold nothing against your enemy. God is working this thing all the way out.
Yes, sir.
They show up, and Joseph knows them, but they don't know him. And I thought about it for a minute. I said, how come they couldn't know their brother? And I thought about me when I was 17. I didn't look the same. I didn't put on a few pounds when I got 30, you know? And then I noticed about the Egyptians, they used to put all of this makeup on and they change their eye shape and do all this stuff. And so he looked totally different. He looked like an Egyptian. So here they are speaking in Hebrew. And he's in their company. So he knows everything that they're saying. The Bible says he got sad. He was sad. He began to weep about what his brothers felt so bad about what they had did to him. In the 42nd chapter, and he said, hold on. He said, I'm going to send you guys back. Go back home and come back with the other one. Because the family's not complete. I need you to go get everybody. So he kept some there, and he sent the other one back. Because he says, there's going to be such saving grace that I want the whole family to be included. He was part of the 12 tribes, and without Benjamin, it would not have been complete. So he had to send back so it would be complete, because they were bringing the whole world prosperity for the entire future. Healing was about to take place. They go back, get Benjamin and the dad and the mama. They all come. The 45th chapter. Now get this. In the 45th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, And God sent me before you to preserve. He sent me before you. The brothers were there with him. He had all the brothers there. And the first thing he says in verse number 4, he says, come near. In other words, you are too distant from me. And that's why Jesus says, come near me. I don't want anything to get, come here.
Come on, pal.
Throughout these years, stuff has been in between us.
Yes,
and it's caused you to look at the stuff in between us,
yes,
and you have been grieved by it.
Yeah.
But if you come near to where we are so close,
praise God.
Now you'll be able to hear from me, so I don't got no interference in the middle of anything. And we have absolute relationship now. Now you'll be able to hear me. But if you don't get close enough, you allow the past to get in between us. And the past has been in between you and God for too long. So he says, come near. You ever be somewhere you can't hear good? And you trying to get closer? Last night I was trying to watch TV. There was a movie on called Do You Believe? And I'm trying to hear, and it was talking. And I went and got close to the TV. I'm trying to hear. I realized that if I wasn't close enough, there would be interference in between. And now you realize why there's been so much static in your life. It's because you have not gotten close enough to the Lord. That you've allowed things in life to interfere with your relationship. And he's saying, draw near to me because I have something to do that is going to take intimacy for you and I to get it done. So you got to come and hear. Amen. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. Then once he got close, he said, I know what the devil been saying. The devil been telling you what you did wrong. That's the difference between the devil work and God's work. A devil will tell you what you did wrong. Jesus never did that. So now you understand if you operating under a devil spirit or Jesus spirit. If you're trying to tell people how wrong they are, then you are being operated by the devil. But if you're trying to tell people how right Jesus can make it, then you are being operated by the power of God. And so it just depends on who's going to operate you that day. And that's the choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. Draw near. First thing he says, number one, he says, don't be grieved. Stop tripping. It's over. What you did, what you planned, it's over.
Amen.
Later on in the text, they start trying to lie about it because they really hadn't received the forgiveness. He said, don't be grieved. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't know all this word. And nobody was really teaching him. I was going, I'm trying to find God. I didn't know all this. And so anytime something started going wrong in my life, I started repenting again, bringing up my past of all the mess I did and telling God, trying to think that maybe God hasn't forgiven me because I'm going through this over here. Maybe God hasn't forgiven me the reason why these people are coming against me. And so I said, God, I'm sorry. God said, what you talking about? I don't have no remembrance of what you did. Joseph shows them, don't be grieved, because this ain't about you. Then he says, God did this. You didn't do this, and you ain't getting no credit for it. I'm here because of what you did. God sent me here so that when I got here, I would be in a position to preserve life. And if he hadn't have used you, then I wouldn't be here. What am I saying? I don't know who wronged you, but if they hadn't have done what they did, you wouldn't be where you are, right? Oh, goodness. You wouldn't have the relationship with God. You wouldn't have him speaking to you today. You wouldn't have. Your past is your past. Get home and get a postcard and write it to your past. It's over. Exclamation point. Put it in the mail. You don't even have to put an address on it. Rome, send it out. It's over. Joseph tells his brother,
"Come on, man.
It wasn't you.
Come on, man.
Don't let grief come upon you.
Amen.
Don't let hate enter you." Says, God knew how to get me to where I needed to be. He had a dream that his brothers would be bowing down and his parents to him. He didn't know how to fulfill the dream. Joseph said, if you wouldn't have did what you did, there's no way I would have come to Egypt. You, listen, I couldn't have planned this. I didn't have a desire to be where I am. God's plan was for me to be here so that lives can be saved. He let them know that everything they did wrong didn't matter. God used them. It was like on a checkerboard or a chess. They're just pawns. God uses people do you wrong to get you where you need to be. There's no way Joseph would have went to Egypt. There's no way he would have went to jail. There's no way he would have went into slavery. But God had a plan. And because of his brothers' wrongful doing, God's plan produce righteousness even to this day. So then, to the 50th chapter, they had a memory lapse because their father died. And they began to think about Joseph now hating them. Daddy's not here because of what they did. What am I saying? Don't let what you've done be a hindrance unto what God's plan is for your life. You did it, and it's over. When I was studying the text, and I said, you know, life, it gives life. It says, for all generations, all he went through was for all generations. And then I realized that it's now too. He's still releasing forgiveness to save lives. And I was teaching that Bible study and said, the power is in your turn. You're going to have to turn from you. Every time you feel the weight, and stop looking at what's wrong and look at what's right. Because it saves lives.
Amen.
Do you realize by looking at what's right, you save the life of everything attached to you?
Amen.
While you're looking at God and his righteousness, where the enemy wants to attack, he don't have no authorization, so he can't come near your children.
Amen.
When you release forgiveness. So he says this in the end. He said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. You might have done some things that you meant for evil. God used you. You did it, but God did something better with it.
Amen.
What you meant for evil, God says, I worked out for the good. So Joseph says, look, it's about forgiving. So he shows a picture of forgiving all of his brother. The one like Judas, he forgave him. He shows the power of forgiveness for the future. Now get this. He forgave all of them. All the 12 tribes represent the whole earth. Forgiveness was released unto the whole earth. And if he wouldn't have forgiven him, now it released the brethren to operate in the power of God. Because even though they did wrong, God still used them. Even though you did wrong, God's still using you. Even though your children do wrong, God will still use them. Even though people wrong you, if you forgive them, it will release saving power onto their life, and God will use them too. When he forgave his brothers, it reduced power in them. Don't you know that Christ was a lion out of the tribe of Judah? And if he wouldn't have been forgiven, there wouldn't have been no tribe produced. Christ wouldn't have came. But because Joseph forgave Judah, then Christ could come through the lineages, because the door was open when forgiveness came. Oh, we got a preacher in the house. Well, if Levi wouldn't have been forgiven, Levi produced a lineage of priests right down to Ananias, who laid his hand upon Paul, who preached the gospel. And because of that, we have preaching in the house. Self-forgive. There's a whole wall of folks in your family, with your friends, and they are standing behind a wall, imprisoned, on their way to hell. And you have the power to release every one of them. And you can forgive them right now. And the walls will come down like the walls of Jericho. And they'll be saved through the forgiving power that God placed in you. They did it to you. I know they did. They did it. But they didn't mean it, because they didn't know any better. God says anybody who messes with one of my little ones, it's better for them to put a millstone around their neck and be tossed in the sea. You don't want them to go. You can forgive them and know that God's plan was at work so that the Christ in you can release the others who are still in bondage. Your forgiveness brings saving grace unto the multitudes. And that's what God wanted you to know today.
Amen.
He's using you for the future.
Amen.
What you're going through and you're releasing forgiveness now is leaving saving grace for future generations. But if you hold on to unforgiveness, you keep bondage. And we have the power to save. Everybody shout forgive.
Forgive.
And the rest of your